This is channel 2 over, a continuation of the, this is the little talk I had with Trina Kay after the last meeting of class, Friday the 31st of May, 68, the last day of class. Now, I filled up all of channel 2 right, and I'm carrying the discussion, the talk with Trina Kay over into channel 2 over. Now, this is on one of the old reels, one of the Emerson reel number 3 from the middle term, from the February, March, April term, the second quarter. And I'm transferring the tape now from the last day of the third quarter, 1968, 31st of May, 1968. I'm still going to work hard on it. I'm going to needle them. I'm going to push them. I'm going to do my share of the work. I'm going to do it right up to the bitter end, right up to the examination. And you know, I have found sometimes that these little illuminations don't come through until the final exam. Now, this is not theoretical.
A revelation, a divine revelation, it really does. Because I can believe that in a few isolated cases this may occur, where suddenly the whole thing, blossoms out. But my personal belief is that to truly understand something, to say you have learned it, involves systematic study and a great deal of time, and that's all. And maybe, after you put the time in, but it's a very rare person who can have this revelation without doing anything. And the time element is just, it's impossible right now. You're probably right in a few cases.
Yes, a few cases.
These are probably people who were not aware of it themselves consciously throughout the quarter, but it was gradually building up in them.
No, they weren't.
No, I mean they weren't aware that they actually, knew where they were.
Yeah.
Until all of a sudden it dawned on them.
Well, now look. St. Paul was a theologian before he saw the light on the Damascus Road. Who is this man, Wesley, John Wesley? You see, he had gone through theological school and had all the experience behind him before he saw the light at that little place in Alder Street, what do they call it? Luther had been one of the head priests, monks, or whatever he was, learned, active, before he got that light, you see, from Romans.
These are exceptional people. Why don't you talk about us common people?
Well, you see, the nature of the course is different.
Yes, the infinitude of the private man that, we should blossom out suddenly.
Yeah.
But I don't, don't pretend to be thorough or anything like that. I just plug away.
Yeah. But if I teach Emerson, I've got to be Emersonian.
Yeah, but you can't expect your students to react in an Emersonian manner, can you?
Yeah.
No, you're expecting too much.
No.
I really, it'd be interesting to find out exactly what those people think of that definition of genius. Because, when I first read it, it's meant a great deal of, the first time you read it, the third time, fifth time, changed a great deal.
Yeah.
I think, here I am advising you on what to do with the next class, but, I think
well,
when you do get to that...
That's why I'm sitting here talking with you. I want to hear what you want to say.
Well, I think when you do get to that, I think you should, I think you did. You brought it up. It's just like maybe you couldn't force everybody to say something. Maybe you have to ask them to write on it. I don't know what. But to trace the development of how this concept of genius changes as, just rereading what Emerson said about it. Because the first time you reread it, you entirely reject it. And gradually you come to see. But, I think that's a very important thing as I look back in retrospect.
And I see what you're doing now is telling me what I want to, what I've asked for on the first half of the test. What I said last time was that I'd be forced in this material to turn the examination over, you see, to this point of view. But I couldn't turn it all over, you see. It's an academic environment, and they'd fire me, and it'd be ridiculous. I mean, I couldn't get by with it. So at least half the exam has to be the conventional sort. But in the first half, what I'd like to see are these little illuminations that have come to you. Your consecutive readings of the idea of genius. That and other things.
How exactly are you going to ask them for that? What are you going to say? Trace your, how you thought, you know, about genius? Is that the way you're going to phrase it?
Because I'm not going to phrase it.
You're not going, oh, exactly what kind of question are you going to ask
no
when
question.
You expect this reunion?
I've already asked it.
I don't understand.
It's just a series of your own
perception. Oh, that is
and perception.
Oh. Well, I think that would be very amusing to see what they write, because it's sort of a standard of students not to be exactly truthful, especially when it's a final exam, because you say what you want, you think the professor wants you to hear.
They can't fake this sort of thing.
You'd be surprised. You're pretty ingenious.
Yes, I'm funny, really. Evil.
Oh, evil.
That's what was in the government. That's what she saw in the children. See, this means she said they can try it.
Yeah, the duplicity. Right. Yes, we're very.
But you see, she's Emersonian in her approach. She pursues it. You know, it's right. It's right. It's right disarming the way the way she reverses the ground. She says, "Do you expect everybody then to be Emersonian?" And I said, "Yes." And she said she didn't believe in that. No illuminations. To her, the light came from hard study. And the very next thing she said, "You know, it is curious what different feeling she had about the idea of genius, and she read it from time to time." That's the end of the talk with Trina Kay. That is the end of the talk with Trina Kay. That is the end of the talk with Trina Kay at about 83 on Channel 2 Over, on Channel 2 Over. That's the end of the talk after class with Trina Kay on the last day of class on Friday, the 31st of May, 1968. The discussion with Trina Kay after class, the last day of class in the third quarter, 1968. It's on up towards 90 now on this dial. Now, this is being transferred on reel number, Emerson reel number 3. That is the one I used in the second quarter back in March and April. This half the tape was empty, and it went from the Emerson tape, Emerson reel number 6, Emerson reel number 6 that I was on this term. I needed some more space, so I just transferred it from the Emerson reel number 6 to Emerson reel number 3. And this is up now to 95, channel 2 over. Channel 2 over. But I don't actually remember what I say. I just sort of, whatever comes up, you see, I sort of get into it. I try to get into it with the discussion and sort of pursue it. And what comes to you, you see, may not be worth saying.
I don't know. It's very hard for me to say why I haven't said what I thought, you know. Because, I mean, it isn't, my mind's completely blank. I think plenty of things. I imagine it's probably, you know, the old thing, you don't want to get involved. You don't want to expose yourself.
Plain safe. You see, that's what you learn from the governess. She can't get involved in order to save, preserve herself. My feeling is that doesn't learn like that. What he learns is not worth learning.
Well, the supposed interchange of ideas which you talk about, I do have in certain instances, but not here. My total commitment to this class is my own thoughts. I said my total commitment to this class are my own thoughts. And I do spend a great deal of time, but usually I find myself much more responsive when I'm speaking to just one other person than when I'm trying to convey my thoughts to a group of people.
Well, you see, a year from now, you won't feel that way.
No, I don't think so, because I've always been this way. All the way through school.
Now, a year from now, you feel different. You come tell me a year from now.
One of the advantages, I guess, of an invitation honors classes are smaller. In the seminar groups, I'm fairly more open in like 6 or 7 people, but not here.
No, a year will make a big difference in that.
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, tell me.
I'm still here.
About next a year from now, you come by and leave me word. Put it in my mailbox in there.
I am still here.
Yes, you're still here. We are still here. Yeah. You know, the best class I teach, the one I enjoy the most, I don't particularly enjoy this. You realize that? I feel too much responsibility. I'm always worrying. See, when you don't get things and go along with the writers, and I think you read Thoreau and you don't respond to it, I lose it. And you see, I can't convert it all into abstractions, because that's not the course. Abstractions are not the course.
I don't think what you said today was abstractions. I really don't. It might be from your terminology, but not from mine. I think that it's merely stating what the Emersonian point of view was. And I think it's very important that we should have that concept in our mind, and not necessarily that it all be, you know, labeled and, you know, demonstrated completely down the page, but just the idea, like if you had mentioned science and artistic inquiry, et cetera, et cetera. And then if I just had those concepts in my mind, I would have them there, so when I was reading some of this material, I could pull it out and examine it. But I didn't have it there. And when I read Emerson the first time, you know, like I mean, like you said one other thing. You said you wished you could have gone back and read The Turn of the Screw through our eyes the first time. You mentioned this one day in class. You envied us the joy of doing this. You realize how much differently you look at it now than you did the first time you read it. Well, it's the same thing. Emerson means absolutely nothing, except I like the sound of words, and I liked a lot of things, the way he said them. But his ideas, I mean, I could, you know, reiterate them, but they didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And I found them very hard, because they didn't mean anything, to carry them through to anything else.
Let me ask you, did you ever think before this?
Think before what?
You were exposed to Emerson.
Think of the Emersonian point of view, or just think, period?
Yes, period.
Yes.
I don't believe it.
Oh, of course I have. I would say my, if you want to call it revelation, the beginning of about the second quarter in Dr. Waugh's class, I would give him credit if I was going to give anybody credit for it. I think he's the one who forced me to. I'd say that you gave me more material with which to work.
I don't think I'm in it. I think it's coming in contact with a mind like Emerson's.
All right. Well, the material then.
Yes.
An experience of the class.
Yes, that's what I would consider.
I would say, well, we dealt with contemporary American poetry in Waugh's class last quarter, and that meant a very great deal to me. Glimpses here and there.
But in this paper, you can't have thought.
I did it in that paper, too. For his class, I wrote several papers, many more than I wrote for here, and I had 5. And I think I did.
But you didn't care to thought like this.
Not in the same way, because it was different kind of material. And it wasn't, you know, taking an Emersonian point of view. It was more like examining a certain poet's point of view. His examination of the entire way he looked at his friends, his family, the people he loved, the world, technology,
well,
that type of thing.
Bring me some of your papers. Let me look at
them. Well, I'm afraid they're highly abstract.
I don't care what they are. I want to see them.
And
I'd like to see them.
And the comment most
of the
time...
I don't have much chance to learn. You see, that'd be a little chance for me to learn.
One of these...
Stick them in my box. And I'll give them back to you on the examination.
I can remember one specific incident right now where I did do what you have asked to do, carry it through. T.S. Eliot, The Wasteland. Are you familiar with it at all?
Barely.
There are, say, four main theses that he is carrying throughout the long poem. And the one I chose was the idea of, let me see how I phrase it. Well, the tarot pack of cards symbolizes a certain thing in mythology. And it's the idea of fortune. And also each card symbolizes one man, woman, sex, something out like this. And you carry this whole idea of how he relates to the significance of these cards as they began. Jesse Weston wrote a book called The Holy Grail, it's The Quest for the Holy Grail. Are you familiar with that? Mm-hmm. And, well, this book is showing how the idea first of the Holy Grail originated. You know, what she's doing is throwing back religion to the fear that first started and the questing around and showing how it all the way works up to the Christian symbolism of the Holy Grail. And the whole way she works is through the way, you know, she's taking the same idea you are. She's going all the way back and tracing it all the way to our present conception of the Holy Grail. And I was doing the same thing with this paper. I took one idea and I traced it all the way through his poem, which is a very long poem. And you relate it. Dr. Waugh's instructions were to take out one stanza or 15 lines, you know, however much you thought you needed, and relate it to the beginning and each succeeding stanza to the end and then to the end in its entirety, which is the same idea. And that was my first experience with doing that because I hadn't done it in high school, except to a limited extent, but not the same way, not with so much to work with. Usually it was something that was very basic.
You know, if you approach Emerson from T.S. Eliot, there's a basic incompatibility.
Yeah, there is. Very definitely there is. There's something that's...
I don't know whether it's possible to do it.
I've been doing so much work this week, my mind's jumbled, but there is a connection that I know very definitely, and it's back there. I can't bring it. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember. It would be very interesting to try, you know, to compare the two, see if there are any similarities.
Now, you see, the Emerson point of view gave way to that. That's the direction of civilization, Western.
Desiccation. From genius to desiccation.
Anyhow, you've got a great deal of evidence.
Where
you can see. You've got material to work with.
Celebrates the deadness of the world. Thoreau celebrates the Chanticleer in the morning. There's a baptism.
I don't know whether Emerson can cope with that, not especially when that's all you have.
We have our desiccation right here, you know, and we don't have the innocence of his approach.
You see. Of course, that had never been done before, and Whitman doesn't know what that is, but he has intimations, and he reacts against it.
Now, let me tell you. Now, here's the thing, you see. I haven't expressed opinions at all. I'll just make this in time. That is intellection. That's an intellectualized world.
Mm-hmm.
The Emerson, Thoreau are still living, and Whitman are still living in experience. Now you've seen both of them. Now you are predisposed towards the T.S. Eliot type thing, as most young people are now. I said to you that. But now some of this is pleasing enough. Don't you find some of this material pleasing?
The Emersonian?
Yeah, some of the material. Some of Thoreau, some of Whitman. That is, you don't go into it with a bias against them.
No.
That is not a. It doesn't destroy them.
No, I mean, it's very receptive to.
Yes.
Thoreau.
Yes. Well, that's it. As long as you can do that. Actually, I see you're in a position of entering both of them worlds. You can enter T.S. Eliot's world and Whitman's world.
Well, my point of view.
Now, that's a marvelous thing to be able to do, you see, to do that. But you see where both of them lead you. Now, you're going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say that I realize that, I mean, very apparent that I do live in T.S. Eliot's world, but my inclination is towards Emersonian philosophy, back to back. And basically, you know, if you want to talk about how I've changed since I got here, that's it. Because I always realized the two worlds existed, and many more in between, but it was sort of like I resigned myself to Eliot. Although I wasn't aware of, you know, I had not read his poetry at the time.
Yeah.
But I resigned myself to competing within the economic forces of, you know, society and commercialism, etc. I said I can rise above it. I mean, within the system above it. And I changed my mind about that.
You know, you know, a lot of things happen. I see you can see all these things. That's a great beauty of using your mind and working into the material. You see, to the ones who sit around here who haven't done that or who are not able to do that.
But these are all sophomores.
Yeah, they're not very good ones, all of them. You see, but that's it, you see. Without the ability to get into the material, you see, the illuminations never come to them. Now, you see, you'll be able to see these things. Now, look. Now, this is hardly a question, but it kind of I've seen this done. The gifted are put on scholarships and enabled to live in a world of the intellect. You see, you're gifted. You can handle this material. You see, by the time you get to be a senior, you'll be way along.
Yeah.
But now look, that scholarship world can be a disastrous world.
Yes, but it's the expedient world.
Yeah, that's
sometimes you don't have a choice. They have to be pragmatic at some point.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that now.
Poverty may be fine for Thoreau, but he's out in the woods and I'm not.
I'm not talking about that. See where it can lead you.
Well, I realize you're not talking about scholarship, you know, the money. You're just talking about the whole, you know, concept.
Yeah.
But you have to make some concessions to it.
Oh, yeah. You know, let me tell you. You see, let me tell you. All this term, see, I've been, my effort is not to teach Emerson, but to sort of create the conditions in which Emerson can speak to you. And you see, all this time, you see, you've been surrounded by this other world. So it's been doubly hard for you to entertain any Emersonian thought. And you see, the first thing you said to me today was a sort of peace with the T.S. Eliot thought.
Which one?
Why don't you give us these abstractions to start with?
I don't know. I think it's more or less being honest. That's all. Maybe it is, you know, they are abstractions, yes. But, I can't...
No, that's what I say. What I'm saying is that that's where you confronted me. Why did you wait till the tail end? Why didn't you do this at first? Give us these, as T.S. Eliot would do, give us the abstractions and the symbols to start with.
Well,
you see, I have...
Everything.
Now, what I'm saying is, that was your approach to me when we first started talking. And you see, that's what I'm trying to avoid.
I think it's perfectly wonderful if you have all the time in the world to sit down and figure it all out for yourself. In fact, the things that I prize most highly, I would not want anyone to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain things that you just don't, you know, that you only have a certain amount of time. And if you're trying to understand this, supposedly you are in a class and the teacher is there to help you. And especially something that's as difficult as this is. Because I did not think at all, I think for the first 6 weeks it was difficult. It's only dawning on me right now how difficult it is.
Everything you say is interesting. Just everything you say, you don't realize how interesting it is.
I'm scared to think.
Now you see, to me, let me tell you, to me, none of this material is difficult. Let me tell you. To me, none of this material is difficult because it is not intellectual. It's all experience and little illuminations. That is all it is. Just the common things that he said could come to a man.
But if you don't have that experience, if you've never even seen the experience, then it is intellectual to you. Because all those words could just be words, and they could just be the reveries of Emerson. Unless you've ever had some contact with it, or you've ever felt, you know, anything similar to what he sees. And Thoreau could just be a fool who went into the woods, you know, that's all. And the typical reaction is, gee, I'd like to spend 10 hours mesmerized, you know. It's foreign to you. This, at least to the student who has had no contact with it, this Emersonian world is as foreign to us as the intellectual world of T.S. Eliot is to you.
I've been through the intellectual world.
Well, I'm just speaking rhetorically. I'm sure you have.
But I've never. I was never
happy.
At home in it.
Mm.
Let me tell you. I think all the material, as far as understanding is concerned, if you approach it right, if you start with Whitman with Song of Myself, it's so difficult. That is, it's so barbarous. He's so blatant. He's so, you see, all that foolishness in it. It's so extreme. But if you start with Whitman in a moderate way, the way we did, you get into Whitman before you know it, and there's never any intellectual question. There's never an intellectual question. There's never a question of perception.
You're forgetting that we are institutionalized people, and we have been taught to look for the question, for the intellectual question. That's the whole thing that school has done to us. You want kindergarten kids, that's what you'll have to take because of... We're the result of the American...
No, you have to have experience now, but not intellectual.
That's what you look for. That's what you consider academic. That's what most people consider academic.
Well, now, what are you going to do with the mainstream?
What am I going to do with
it?
Flow its merry way.
Live above
I'm not
it.
Jumping in.
You're going to live with the mainstream.
Oh, Me?
Everybody has.
No, they don't.
Huh? Live above it?
No. I'm a bank. I'm a bank.
I gave that today. Now, I have said the same thing I've said today. I've said a dozen times. You don't remember that.
Not all at once. And not, you didn't say, this is the episode point of view.
Yes.
You just dropped him.
No. No, that wasn't hints. I've said it methodically, half a dozen times anyhow. and wave a flag. Yeah, why don't you remember when I said?
I vaguely heard some of these things before. I admit it, but
you know, I said it today. It's sort of academic. I make the concessions for you. I know your mind's so full, you can't think, you see, just as you were saying. Your mind's cluttered. Why, I told you, I apologized to you when we were talking about the screw. I said I had got so interested in it, my mind was so filled with it, I couldn't talk about it. My mind was so cluttered, you know, I couldn't see it clearly. So now you see, I just assume that you're in that state all the time.
We are.
Yes. I don't think I expect too much of it. But now, let me tell you, between now and Friday, you've got a lot of time between now and Friday.
I also have other exams between now and Friday.
Yeah. But you won't spend much time on them.
Oh, no.
This is almost up to 400, channel 2 over. Almost up to 400, channel 2 over. And this is the end of the talk with Trina K after the long talk, after the last meeting of class on the Friday, the 31st of May, on Friday the 31st of May, the last day of class. And this is the end of the discussion, the visit, and the talk with the member of the class, Trina K, after the class. And it's almost up to 400 on channel 2 over. And this has happened at the end of the third term, but I'm putting it on the reel of the second quarter. This is the end of the term. This is the end of the term of the third quarter. On Friday of the last week, the 31st of May, 1968, an examination is Friday, a week from Friday. And this is a long talk I had right after class with one of the students, Trina K. After this, and in this discussion, and in the class, I went over rather systematically the Emersonian viewpoint. And that is what started the talk with Trina K. She was so put out with me for summarizing the content of the course the last day, and those who had no knowledge of the course would get that cue. And then they could go ahead and fake the rest of it. And she was put out with me. But she, all sorts of little revelations took place in her mind.